Please join me in prayer. Father, I'm so thankful that we can sing that song, that you will cleanse, pardon, and relieve. Because your promise, we believe. Not because we have cleaned ourselves up, not because we have gone through some sort of program to make ourselves acceptable to you, but because of the promise of forgiveness and eternal life that we find in Christ. So thankful that you take us just as we are. So Father, as we stand here before you this morning, as we think about maybe what happened in our week this past week, or even perhaps as we look forward with either fear, trepidation, caution, or anticipation of what's going to happen this next week, may we present ourselves to you. May we allow your amazing grace to come into our lives and to fill our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Just one quick thing here. If you are a first-time guest of ours, haven't been here in a long time, we would love for you to pick up this bulletin and fill out the connection card, which you'll find on the right-hand side of that, and drop it in the offering plate that gets passed in a few minutes. But this is a special day. We are commissioning two new Stephen ministers in the first service and two new Stephen ministers in the second service. So I'm going to actually invite them to come up. Those that we are commissioning in the first service, come on up. And Tracy and Alicia, are you guys are coming on up too? All right. There's Tracy. I'm sure, I think you get the microphone first. Come on up here, gentlemen. Go ahead and read the testimonies first.
Sure.
I'd like to do it. If Stephen Ministry is new to you, would one of you ladies just give a couple of minutes of what, or a minute or so of what we got going here, and then we'll read these testimonies, and then we'll do the commissioning. Go ahead.
We have a test.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to turn it on.
We have a testimony this morning.
I don't think so. You have to hold the button on a little longer than that.
There we go. Sorry. We have two testimonies this morning, one from a care receiver, somebody who for the past year has been meeting regularly with a Stephen minister pretty much on a weekly basis to get encouragement. And she's completing her year, not that they have to stop within a year, sorry, but her time with her Stephen minister has wound up now. So she sent us a testimony. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to train people for the Stephen ministry. What a blessing. I'm so grateful for you and the people who give of their time to go out and minister to those who need encouragement and friendly talk. I've been blessed in so many ways and needed to tell you that I appreciate every one of you, and I'm praying for all of you. God bless you, one who has been blessed. And then we also have a testimony from one of our Stephen ministers. They've just completed their first year of ministry. 1 year ago, as I was commissioned as a Stephen minister, many thoughts entered my mind. What am I committing to? Can I do what is required of me? Will I really be able to help my care receiver? What I learned was that I couldn't do any of those things by myself, but with God's help, I could do my best and let Him do the rest. I am the caregiver, and He is the cure giver. This past year as a Stephen minister has had its challenges and joys as I walked with my care receiver through her life's journey. I'm happy to announce that we saw many victories as we walked together. My care receiver has learned that though the circumstances of life don't always change, she can change internally, body, soul, and mind, as she leans on God for her daily strength. I have been personally drawn closer to the Lord through study to answer my care receiver's questions, through prayer for wisdom to provide the care needed, and through commitment, my covenant to the Stephen Ministry program. My sister Stephen ministers have been such a blessing as encouragers and prayerful support. My life has been greatly enriched by answering the call to be a Stephen minister, and I look forward to what he will do in the year ahead as I walk with my next care receiver.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Steve and Brian, you have been equipped to serve as Stephen ministers here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Now listen, please, to these words that we find in Scripture, first from 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. From Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Alicia?
Brothers, each of you has been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. We ask you now to join in serving our Lord and those in our congregation and neighborhood who need to be comforted. As the Lord Jesus has responded to your needs, we ask you to strive to be responsive to the needs of others. As the Lord Jesus took the burdens of the world on his shoulders and has been a friend to you in troubled times, we ask you to be a friend to those who are burdened under the stress of daily life. As the Lord Jesus patiently listens when you turn to him, we ask you to be a patient listener in a hurried world. As the Lord Jesus has broken down the barriers that separated you from God, we ask you to heal divisions wherever you find them and strive to make people whole. As the Spirit of Christ has given you gifts for service, we ask you to use your skills and talents to help those people whom you serve and to pray for them. As the Lord Jesus has shown you his care, we ask you to help this congregation grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. As the Lord Jesus has revealed his presence to you through faith, we ask you to share your personal experiences of faith with those around you so that they too may celebrate the presence of Christ in our world today.
We will also be commissioning in the second service Craig Spade and Craig Purcell, if you want to stick around and join us for that. But guys, are you prepared to meet these requests that we ask of you?
Yes.
Yes, with the help of God. Are you prepared to nurture the skills you have learned and use them in service to others to support, encourage, build up, and comfort people in all their needs? People of the faith community of Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, we ask you to open your hearts to the ministry of Steve and of Brian and to pray for them that they may be effective servants of Christ. Are you prepared to meet this request? Answer yes with the help of God. We also ask that you accept their ministry when you need help, to allow these individuals to work with you as you face struggles in your life, that you might receive support and help from your Christian brothers. If you are prepared to meet this request, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Brian and Steve, are you prepared to serve as Stephen ministers at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren? With the help of God. All right, I'm going to ask any of our existing Stephen ministers to come forward as we lay hands and anoint Brian and Steve. We have 8 that we have been in service for the past year, and today we have Linda Dorman, Danny Summers, and Carol Manbeck.
So, come on up here.
So we'll have Brian do... And Eric Kaufman's coming up, and Danita too.
Yep.
So Danita
and Eric are going to anoint them while we sing. And as we sing this song, what I want you to think about is that the Spirit of the Living God has to fall fresh on these two, and really on the other 8 ladies and the other 2 men that we'll be commissioning. Stephen Ministry is a new ministry here since last year. It is one of the greatest things that we have going on, and it's been such a blessing to so many people. And so, as we sing, as you sing, And Eric anoints, I guess, Steve and Nina Bryant. They're going to pray for them, and then I have a few words at the end that I want to say. So, guys, if you'll go ahead and lead us. Steve, Brian, because you have promised faithfully to serve the Lord Jesus and his people as Stephen ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you, in turn, care for others. Work hard. Use the skills that you have learned in all of those hours of training that you have participated in, releasing the gifts and talents of the Spirit that the Spirit of God has given you so that you might be a blessing to the people you meet and care for. Continue to study. Reflect upon the situations you encounter. Pray for the people whose lives you are privileged to share. Be free to share your own personal frustrations and needs with others so that you might receive the same kind of care and love you offer others. Act boldly and without fear, for Christ is with you. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you to take Steve and Brian, our brothers, into your care. You have blessed them with particular gifts and talents and have provided them with an opportunity to learn more about helping people. May they serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they be quick to serve, patient in listening, willing to share themselves with people. Give to us thankful hearts for them and show them in times of stress and satisfaction a special measure of your mercy and joy. Keep them strong in the faith you have given them for the sake of Jesus, who cares for all of us in every way forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations, guys.
We're giving them bags that have resources for them as Stephen ministers to help them grow in their faith, as well as to help with their care receivers, plus a certificate suitable for framing about their commissioning. So, guys, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. 50 hours of training they've completed. Let's give them a round of applause.
All right, kids, you can head on back now to junior worship. Thank you for participating in this ceremony with us. And I'm going to ask Danita to come on up and do the offering and share with us a message today.
So during the offering, and I encourage ushers, go ahead and take the offering while the video is playing. I'm going to, we have a video that I share with the children in children's ministry on a regular basis. So if any children are here, they will have seen this before probably. So go ahead and roll the video, and we'll have the ushers take the offering at the same time.
It's not just a collection of stories. It's one big story where everything points to Jesus. It begins with God creating a perfect world and placing a perfect couple in the middle of it. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and sin and death entered the world. God decided to judge the earth by sending a great flood, but he told Noah to build an ark so the animals and Noah's family could be saved. One of Noah's descendants was a man named Abraham. God promised Abraham that his family would be used to bless the whole world. The Israelites would have a special land to live in and would be as countless as the stars in the sky. When a famine spread through the land, God used Joseph to bring the Israelites to Egypt. But after a time, the Egyptians made them their slaves. So God raised up another leader, Moses, to rescue his people and lead them to the promised land. God performed amazing miracles along the way. He taught the Israelites how to live. He showed them how to build a tent called the tabernacle, where sacrifices could be offered for their sins. But even after they arrived in the promised land, the Israelites continued to rebel. They worshiped idols and demanded a human king instead of God. God was patient and allowed them to have a king. One of those kings was David, who defeated Goliath. David's son Solomon built a beautiful temple for God that replaced the tabernacle. But Solomon's sin caused the kingdom to be split in two. During this difficult time, prophets like Isaiah told the people about the Messiah. The Messiah would make things right with God again. Even when the Israelites were conquered by other kingdoms, they held on to the promise that one day the Messiah would come and rescue them. In time, God led the Israelites back to the land. The temple was rebuilt. Jerusalem's walls were repaired. The prophet Malachi foretold that the Messiah was on the way. Then, silence. For 400 years, God remained quiet. The silence was broken by the cry of a tiny baby born in a manger. His name was Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah. He lived a sinless life, performed miracles, and showed the people how to return to God again. Some believed Jesus, most did not. He was arrested and crucified on a cross. And then something amazing happened. 3 days after his death, Jesus came to life again, conquering death and defeating sin once and for all. At the beginning, we said that all of the Bible points to Jesus. So you might think it's strange that he appears so late in the story. Or does he? Look closely, and you'll find signs that point to Jesus right from the very beginning. God used the ark to save Noah, pointing to the day when we would find salvation in Jesus. God promised to bless the world through Abraham's family, which he did through Jesus. The sacrifices pointed to Jesus, who became the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. The pages of the Bible are filled with stories that point us to Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus' friends carried his message to the ends of the earth. Faithful followers like Peter, Paul, and others shared the good news wherever they went. And you and I have the same calling. We are to share Jesus wherever we go until one day he returns to make everything right again. Yes, the Bible is full of amazing stories, but really, it's all about Jesus. That's the story. That's his story.
That's the big story. That's the big story. So today, we are actually talking about reconciliation. We're talking about these five things that we have decided as a congregation to focus on. God's big story is the greatest drama of all times. And if you haven't noticed, or probably Pastor Eric mentioned it the first week he preached, our five words spell out the word drama. And those are to talk about the strategic focus that we have as a congregation. Together we commit to build purposeful community through the drama of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about the idea of discipleship and how we need to be yoked with Christ in discipleship. And that when we are yoked with him, our burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he helps us to walk through life. And so today we are talking about the second one, our reconciliation. Actually, reconciliation should probably be the first one, because without reconciliation, there's no chance for discipleship. But we couldn't think of a word that started with R. And so the letters kind of fell into drama, and here we go. When we think about reconciliation, one of the scriptures that I go to right away is the scripture I'm going to share at the very beginning of our time together. And it is from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it talks about, starting with verse 17, it talks about the reconciliation that we are called to as a body of believers. And so we're going to start off with that. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This ministry and message of reconciliation, it lies at the very heart, lies at the heart of God's plan for us. Like I said before, we couldn't even be yoked together with Christ without that reconciliation happening in our life. So today I want to talk about that plan and how it impacts our lives individually and as a body of believers. So first, let's define reconciliation. Reconciliation is the process by which two people or two ideas, etc., two things which are in conflict are brought to a place of peaceful coexistence. Webster says that it's restoring friendly relations or making two ideas compatible with one. And as we saw in the movie, at the dawn of creation, the first man and the first woman were in full fellowship with God. They walked with God. They were in full fellowship with him. God had breathed into them his life. He breathed into them his image and his free will. And with that free will, they could choose to love and serve him, which they did for a while in the garden. We really don't know, according to Scripture, how long they were in full relationship with God. Or they could choose to serve somebody else, themselves, their desires. With that decision, they would pave the way for what has happened since then. They did succumb to the temptation to serve themselves. Satan tempted them, and they gave in. And with that decision, their relationship with God was broken, and the power of Satan and his evil forces were unleashed into the kingdom of the world. Because of God's incredible, unfathomable love for us, then from then on, it has been God's plan to bring us back into relationship with him, because he loves us so much. God is a being that is love. There is no love in the world without him. And he wanted nothing more than to be in relationship with us again. So you might wonder why God didn't just make it so that people couldn't disobey. I mean, why did he even do that? It just doesn't make sense. But we get a glimpse of who God is because we are made in God's image. And so let me ask you, how fulfilling is it for you if somebody loves you because they have to? How fulfilling is it for you if you come down or get up in the morning and you open up your computer and your computer is programmed to say, I love you, I will serve you all day? Seriously, God is just like us. He wants us to love him because we've chosen to do that. That's exactly what he wants. The fact is that God gave us a free will and a nature that's bent towards sin. Not only did he give us a free will, but the nature that we have is bent towards sin. He gave us that as well. Not only that, but he made Satan the prince and the power of the air. He made Satan the ruler of the world, okay? The spiritual, that's who rules the kingdom of the world. And that's how much he wants to know that we love him, that we're going to push past all of those things and love him. And indeed, there were people all through history, all through biblical history, and we saw some of their pictures,
that did push past that. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. One of the earliest people that we know walked with God. Then there was Noah, who obeyed God for hundreds of years amidst a bunch of junk that people were throwing at him to build the ark. And then there was Abraham, and it goes on and on. People who sought God out because they loved him simply by faith. So those people existed, but most people did not. Most people lived to please themselves. In the kingdom of the world, life revolves mostly around a small self-story of personal desire. That's where we are most of the time. So how do I get my needs met? What can I do to be happy? How can I stay secure? How can I stay in control of my life? How can I maintain or gain the upper hand in most relationships? How can I be the powerful individual in a relationship? And so the kingdom of the world is filled with conflict and strife and warring and brokenness because everyone is their own God. It doesn't mean that everyone is mean and nasty and murderous and going out and killing everybody. But in my own little world, if I'm living in my own self-story, I'm thinking about the people that I love. I'm thinking about all of the things around me that make me happy. And certainly when we have children and we have families and we get along, I mean, it's a great thing. But I'm thinking about those things in my self-story. What makes me happy? How can I structure my life so that I'm happy? But conflict happens when our personal security, power, control, happiness, or expectations are threatened. Okay, so if you can think of anything in your life where there's any place where there's conflict in your life, I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to trace it back to conflict that's unresolved, conflict where you certainly are playing a part in keeping it alive. We can trace it back to feeling threatened in some way. Okay? So, when the desires and expectations of one party conflict with the desires and expectations of another party, that's when we have conflict. And most conflict is never really resolved. Most marriages which end in conflict, or most marriages hampered by conflict, it's usually not resolved. They usually break up. That's what usually happens. Conflict and strife is the human story in the kingdom of the world. But in God's love, he ushered in his kingdom through that tiny baby and invited all of us to be a part of it. And when the time was just right, God came to earth through his much-loved son, and he brought about God's kingdom. And Jesus walked on this earth long enough to share God's kingdom values with us, to set the direction for how we should live our lives. And then God allowed the evil forces of the world to kill Christ. The evil forces culminated and they killed him. And it's almost like God said, enough, enough. There will be no more bloodshed in my name to cover sin. I will pay the final and absolute price. And that's what happened. And with that, God extended his unconditional forgiveness to everybody who will receive it. He's standing there and he's waiting for us to receive it. Not only did Jesus die, but all on his own, he came back to life. And he proved that he has power over death, power over the most powerful things in the kingdom of the world. He has power over that. So, now all of mankind has proof of the one true God that is incredibly loving beyond measure and incredibly powerful beyond any power, including the power of darkness and death. So with this, everything changed for us. Now we don't have to be separated from God anymore. Now we can be reconciled. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God created a clear path for all people to be reconciled to him. And the church became the kingdom of God on earth. God's kingdom has been inaugurated to be lived out by the church in community as we follow the teachings of Jesus. So right now, the kingdom of God grows like an ever-expanding dome. And I think of that program that was on, I don't know, a summer or two ago, The Dome. How many of you watched The Dome? That came down and just sat there. But that dome wasn't ever expanding. That was just a glass dome. I didn't even really watch the end of it. I don't know how it all worked out. But maybe somebody can tell me. But the kingdom of God exists inside the kingdom of the world in this ever-expanding dome. And someday, it's going to grow to a place through the cataclysmic events in the book of Revelation and that Jesus talked about as well. It will grow, and the kingdom of God will overtake and rule the earth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Someday, that will happen. But for today, we are the kingdom of God in this world. As a community, that's who we are. And as a congregation, our commitment is to lead people from a life of a small self-story to a life lived in the light of God's big story of reconciliation. I think it's great that we had all of that Stephen minister language up here today, and we did that consecration because that's what it's all about. Stephen ministry is the church doing the ministry of reconciliation. That's one way that we do it. We show people, we bring people to live in the light of God's big story. I like to think of our choice between living in the kingdom of the world in that small self story and living in God's big story. I like to think of it like this. I love the beach. My family doesn't like to go to the beach that much, but I go with the women at the beach retreat. By the way, sign up for the beach retreat. It's a great time. You can be reminded of God's greatness. I love to go to the beach. I think because in some ways it's so overwhelmingly huge. You see the ocean, it's just God's magnificent in the ocean. I just find it amazing. But in the morning, we get excited when we see the dolphins swimming, migrating up the beach. And it's exciting to see them hop out of the water and so on. So we have the dolphins hopping out. But we know, and as they hop out, you know, we think, wow, they're seeing this big world. You know, they're in the ocean, but now they're up out of the water in the sunshine. And it's, I bet it feels really good to them, especially since they need the air to breathe. But anyhow. But they swim down in and they come up. But also in the ocean, oh, I have pictures of dolphins here, I forgot about that. Also in the ocean, there are other creatures that live on the bottom. Now, they all don't look like this, but there's some pretty creepy-looking bottom feeders. This is a catfish, but then there's some really beautiful ones, like the starfish. And these, I think they're sea anemones or something like that. They live on the bottom, and their world is pretty small. They're on the bottom of the ocean. They really are unaware of the big world out there, and their life is pretty much about just what they can reach while they're down there on the bottom of the ocean. In the meantime, we have the dolphins that are swimming up and bursting out, and I feel like when we recognize the big story of God's kingdom, we're like the dolphins who are springing out of the ocean and seeing this huge, big story. Now, the dolphins they go back in, and they swim around down in there. But they always know that there's this thing bigger out there that they want to get at. But our little bottom feeders, they're just happy to be down there in their little place. And when we don't recognize the big story, what we end up doing is being a bottom feeder of life. And not in a gross, yucky way necessarily, because really life can be pretty good. Things go our way and we don't have a lot of conflict. Life can be pretty good. But do we want to live this small self-story of a bottom feeder? Or do we want to be able to spring up out of that into the kingdom of God where there's light and life and something so much bigger than our little bottom story self thing that we have going on? I appreciate this definition of reconciliation from a woman who has written a lot about reconciliation. And she writes, her name's Brenda Salter McNeil. Reconciliation is an ongoing spiritual process involving forgiveness, repentance, and justice that restores broken relationships and systems to reflect God's original intention for all of creation to flourish. That's what we're about. We're about this process. And so I have a few basic steps in our last couple minutes here. I have a few basic steps that we can go through. And you preach about reconciliation, 20 minutes definitely isn't long enough for that. And I have to preach again in July, and I don't know if we have our series set. I don't think we have a series set. So I think maybe we'll come back and visit this again in July a little more deeply. But here are some basic steps to leave with you today about reconciliation and that pathway. And the first is personal reconciliation with God. To join God's big story, we need to be personally reconciled to God. And this is a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. Repenting of our sinful state, admitting our need for his loving grace, accepting his unconditional forgiveness, and submitting and committing your will to his. That's what reconciliation with God is all about. And if you have never experienced that, we would love to talk with you about that. We would love to encourage you and walk alongside of you in that process of being reconciled to God. I love Ephesians 2, and there's a lot here. We're going to read it because it's just a huge scripture that helps us understand. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler and the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I believe that there is a point when while reconciliation is a spiritual process, I believe there is a point when we become reconciled to God. That initial point, when we become reconciled to God and the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us and we become a new person, that happens at a point in time for us. And from that point on, our faith walk and process is of growing in our faith. Our faith walk and process means growing in our faith and learning more about how to participate in God's big story. So like all people of God in the past, we will struggle and fall. There will be times after we have reconciled, come through this point of reconciling with God, repenting, admitting our need, accepting his forgiveness, and submitting our will, that we will fall. We will struggle. But we are constantly being called, because now we're dolphins, to the surface to experience God's big story. And reconciliation with God brings us into that place in our life. And that's why we need community. We need community to call us up out of that, to help keep us faithful. That's why community is so important. The next thing in joining God's big story is to live God's big story of reconciliation in your relationships. To live it in your relationships. And I believe when we are initially reconciled with God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, our eyes are open to how this happens. And it will happen in our relationships. It will happen in our relationships. And it happens, let's read the scripture from Colossians. Colossians talks about this. About how we need to be in our relationships. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. What a wonderful picture. And that is a process. That is a process, because forgiveness is hard sometimes. So in that process, the rest of my notes didn't come in there for some reason. Not sure why. The first step is to forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive others unconditionally. And accept the forgiveness that others are offering you. Sometimes the reconciliation often doesn't happen, and reconciliation is a bilateral thing, while forgiveness is unilateral. In other words, I can forgive somebody and should forgive somebody before they ask, and even if they don't accept it, I need to forgive them. I need to forgive them. Unforgiveness, I heard this recently, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Doesn't work, does it? If we live with unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other one dies. So we need to give that unconditional forgiveness to people. That is the beginning of reconciliation in our relationships. And if somebody comes to us and says, you know, I forgive you for what you did, what's my first reaction? I didn't do anything. You don't need to forgive me because I didn't do anything wrong. Sorry. And I've seen that happen over and over again in relationships where somebody comes to a point where they've been hurt and they've been offended. And the other person is like, I didn't do anything wrong. And reconciliation stops right there. There's no reconciliation because they wouldn't receive your forgiveness. Just like there's no reconciliation between us and God if we don't receive his forgiveness, if we don't admit that we've done something wrong. If somebody's hurt because of something you did, you did something wrong, whether you think you did it or not. Whether they just are, oh, they're just weird. Oh, I don't know why they have to be so sensitive. No, we need to accept their forgiveness as well. That's part of reconciliation. If reconciliation doesn't happen, I don't think, let me see. Okay, if reconciliation does not happen, then we need to patiently wait for it. We don't withdraw our forgiveness. God doesn't do that. He has not done that. He has extended unconditional forgiveness to everybody in the world. Everybody. It's there. We do the same thing. If the forgiveness is not accepted, we don't withdraw it. We keep it there. Now, I will say, and the Bible tells us, that there will be a time when God withdraws his offer. The door will shut. At the end of days, the door will shut. And his offer of forgiveness. So if you have not reconciled with God, please do that. Because at the end of time, the offer will be withdrawn. But for us, it's just there. As long as we live, the forgiveness is there. That's what we're called to do. So we patiently wait and pray for reconciliation. We just wait. And then the third thing that we need to do is to take steps to be continually growing in our faith. Take steps to be continually growing in our faith. So those three things are important for us in reconciling our relationship. When I'm not growing in my faith, when I'm stuck and I get there sometimes, and sometimes I get swimming on the bottom and I'm a bottom feeder for a while, couple days, a week, maybe I'm too busy to grow in my faith and to pay attention to what God's saying to me. I get grumpy, I get critical, and I get unforgiving. So we need to be growing in our faith, and that will are the steps to bringing reconciliation to our relationships. And then the last is to join in the ministry of reconciliation of the church. Join in the ministry. We do reconciliation together in community. That's how God designed it. He did not design for us to be all Lone Ranger people out there, operating on our own, not connected to a body of believers, not living in community. Well, churches look different. Some churches are a few people gathered in a house, and that's still the community of believers. In fact, that's how the church started, was 10 to 20, 30 people gathering in a home. So being connected to a body of believers doesn't mean you have to be sitting in a building like this with 100 or so other people. It doesn't mean that, but it does mean you need to be living in community. That's where reconciliation happens to the world. That's where the ministry really goes out. We here at Buffalo Valley, we struggle to build a strong sense of community with many who attend. Leadership and leadership, we want to own that failure. Many times our pastoral team meetings on a Monday morning, we talk about this. How can we do a better job? How can we connect people? And we found it difficult. We want reconciliation to be a major part of our ministry together. And that means that we work on building bridges of forgiveness and compassion toward one another. And then together building bridges from this body out into our community, that's what we want to be about. And we need you as to be part of that. We want you to be part of that. Perhaps you're sitting here today having submitted your life to Christ and are expecting and are experiencing what it means to be reconciled with God. Praise God. You know, I have a feeling that many of you here, really, that's where you are. And you strive daily to live out a ministry of reconciliation. I challenge you to look for new ways to be part of that ministry of reconciliation, whether it's here in our congregation, in this community, whether it's in other places. Just be looking for new ways to be part of the ministry of reconciliation beyond the doors into this world. Perhaps you've given your life to Christ and you're reconciled with God, but you find that right now your life is filled with conflict and you've been a bottom feeder for a while. You're just not living into God's big story, and you need to get up or you suffocate. You do. You need to get back into the kingdom of God, back into really working and serving. I think we all go through these spiritually difficult times. We want to walk with you. We want to encourage you. We want to help sustain you. Please reach out for prayer and for resources and relationships that will help deepen and strengthen your faith. Please do that. And perhaps you're here today never really having experienced the reconciling power of God in your life. Please know that there is unconditional forgiveness and grace being extended to you today. Please, please reach out in faith and claim it. God wants nothing more than to shower his love and reconciling power into your life. And you will be supernaturally changed when that happens. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled by your love for us. We need you. We love you. Father, we just ask that you will help us as a community of believers to understand more deeply each day what it means to be in the ministry of reconciliation with one another. Father, I pray for those that are sitting here today that just have been struggling with conflict and that whose lives are sandbagged in the bottom of the ocean as bottom feeders. Lord, we just pray that you would help them to understand, that your spirit would move in their life to understand how to reach past the self story into that big story that you have for them. And that big story that you are doing around them. Father, help us all to be part of that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of that song, that just as we are, we can come to you. You will welcome us. You will pardon us. You will cleanse us. You will relieve us. Not based on performance, not based on ritual, but because we believe. And as we stand here in very different places, in spiritually, maybe some who have been followers of Jesus for decades, others who are not yet even follower of Jesus, but just thinking about it, just considering it. Lord, I'm so thankful that you take us from where we are, just where we are, just as we are. And you then have a plan to take us to where you want us to be. to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray that whatever part this time that we have today, whatever part that can play in the overall process, that you would do it, and that we would give you free reign in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you are a guest of ours and didn't get a chance to stop at the Welcome Center, I want to point out that we have this thing called a connection card, and we'll receive our offering here in a few minutes, and you can put that in the offering basket or a plate, or you can put it in the black boxes in the back. We will be doing that in a few minutes. Also, we offer a junior worship for kids up through fifth grade, and that is going to happen a little bit later than normal in the service today because we have something special to do today, and that is our Stephen Ministry commissioning. So I'm going to invite Tracy and Alicia and also the two Craigs to come on up, Craig Purcell and Craig Spade. We commissioned Stephen Butorf and Brian Summers in the first service, and so we're going to be commissioning these two gentlemen today. So come on up, and Tracy, I think you were having the microphone first. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Stephen Ministry and then read those testimonies for us, please.
All right, Stephen Ministry is a one-on-one caring ministry where our people who have been interviewed and accepted to be Stephen ministers undergo how many hours of training?
A lot.
50 hours of training, and then when they're done with their training, they'll go through twice a month supervision in order to continue their caring ministry. So typically it'd be with people who might be grieving or have chronic illness or have lost a job or just have ongoing difficulties in life, and we pair them up for one-on-one ministry. So these guys have completed their 50 hours of training, and we're commissioning them this morning. I have two testimonies to share with you this morning. One of them is from a care receiver, somebody who has just spent a year receiving one-on-one care. And she says, "Thank you so very much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to train people for the Stephen Ministry. What a blessing. I'm so grateful for you and the people who give of their time to go out and minister to those who need encouragement and friendly talk. I've been blessed in so many ways and needed to tell you that I appreciate every one of you and am praying for you all. God bless you, one who has been blessed." And then I also have a testimony from one of our Stephen ministers. We've had eight ladies who have just come up on their first year anniversary, and she says, "One year ago, as I was commissioned as a Stephen minister, many thoughts entered my mind. What am I committing to? Can I do what is required of me? Will I really be able to help my care receiver? What I learned was that I could not do any of these things by myself, but with God's help, I could do my best and let him do the rest. I am the caregiver, and he is the cure giver. This past year as a Stephen minister has had its challenges and joys as I walked with my care receiver through her life's journey. I'm happy to announce that we saw many victories as we walked together. My care receiver has learned that though the circumstances of life don't always change, she can change internally, body, soul, and mind as she leans on God for her daily strength. I have personally been drawn closer to the Lord through study to answer my care receiver's questions, through prayer for wisdom to provide the care needed, through commitment, my covenant to the Stephen Ministry program. My sister Stephen ministers have been a blessing as encouragers and prayerful support. My life has been greatly enriched by answering the call to be a Stephen minister, and I look forward to what God will do in the year ahead as I walk with my next care receiver."
Awesome. So Craig, you have been equipped to serve here as Stephen ministers at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Please hear these scriptures from our Lord, first from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Switch
places with me. Brothers, each of you has been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. We ask you now to join in serving our Lord and those in our congregation and neighborhood who need to be comforted. As the Lord Jesus has responded to your needs, we ask you to strive to be responsive to the needs of others. As the Lord Jesus took the burdens of the world on his shoulders and has been a friend to you in troubled times, we ask you to be a friend to those who are burdened under the stress of daily life. As the Lord Jesus patiently listens when you turn to him, we ask you to be a patient listener in a hurried world. As the Lord Jesus has broken down the barriers that separated you from God, we ask you to heal divisions wherever you find them and strive to make people whole. As the Spirit of Christ has given you gifts for service, we ask you to use your skills and talents to help those people whom you serve and to pray for them. As the Lord Jesus has shown his care to you, we ask you to help this congregation grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. As the Lord Jesus has revealed his presence to you through faith, we ask you to share your personal experiences of faith with those around you so that they too may celebrate the presence of Christ in our world today.
To the Craigs, are you prepared to meet these requests that we ask of you? If so, say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
Are you prepared to nurture the skills you've learned and use them in service to others, to support, encourage, build up, and comfort people in all their needs? If so, say
yes. And help of God.
Now, to you, the faith community of Buffalo Valley, we ask you to open your hearts to the ministry of these people and to pray for them, that they may be effective servants of Christ. Are you prepared to meet this request? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
We also ask that you accept their ministry when you need help, to allow these individuals to work with you as you face struggles in your life, that you might receive support and help from your Christian brothers and sisters. If you are prepared to meet this request, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Are you prepared to serve as Stephen ministers here at Buffalo Valley? All right, I'm going to ask all the existing Stephen ministers to come forward. We had three in the first service and should have five today. Susan Steyer, Joan Hoffman, Carol Hoffmaster, Kelly Walter, and Wendy Warren. And at this time, we'll have all of the pastors.
Yep.
The pastors are going to come up and anoint, and we're going to lay hands and pray for these two guys.
Right, and they're going to lead us in a song, which is "The Spirit of the Living God Fall Fresh on Me," and we certainly need that. They need that as Stephen ministers. Despite the excellent training, this is vain without God's help, without God working on this. So Eric's going to come and anoint one. Danita's going to anoint the other, Craig, and just sing this as a prayer, not only for them, but for you and for our congregation here at Buffalo Valley. Craig and Craig, you have been equipped to serve as Stephen. Whoops, that's the wrong one to read. There we go. Because you have promised to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus and his people as Stephen ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit, as you in turn care for others. Work hard, use the skills that you have learned in all those hours of training and the continued hours of training, releasing the gifts and talents the Spirit of God has given you so that you might be a blessing to the people you meet and care for. Continue to study, reflect upon the situations and people that you encounter. Pray for those whose lives you are privileged to share. Be free to share your own personal frustrations and needs with others so that you might receive the same kind of care and love that you offer others. Act boldly and without fear, for Christ is with you. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Craig, and we thank you for Stephen, and we thank you for Brian, and we thank you for the ladies that are up here and those that were in the first service. Thank you for the culture of Stephen ministry that you have birthed here at Buffalo Valley. We thank you for the new care receivers that these men will receive, and as others have been will be transitioning into new areas of ministry as well. We just pray, and we don't even know what you're going to do over this next year, but we pray that you do great work. Thank you for the work that you have already done through Stephen Ministry here at Buffalo Valley. We ask your blessing upon our Stephen ministers and their care receivers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys very much. Thank you ladies very much.
Alicia's going to be passing out bags to them that have a lot of resources for their continued growth as Christians and also for their ministry. If you've got any questions about Stephen Ministry or are interested in becoming a Stephen minister or a care receiver, you may talk with Alicia Showers or me, Tracy Erickson. All right.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.